Sequester budget cuts take center stage on Saturday Night Live. They open the show with Jay Farrow, who, of course, is their Barack Obama, at the presidential podium, explaining how the sequester cuts would actually work.
Now, most Americans still don't understand what this whole sequester really means. I could explain it in financial terms or in human terms. But since I really have no idea about how money works or budgets work, I'll go in human terms instead. You see, we're all going to feel the pain from these cuts, even in the White House. From now on, my wife Michelle will only do 4 television appearances a week, down from her usual 75. I also had to sit Joe Biden down and tell him that he couldn't order another fathead poster for his bedroom wall.
All right. Again, Saturday Night Live's President Obama continued with some real-world examples of how these budget cuts will affect government programs that are only marginally different from the what they were seeing in real life.
How will your department handle the budget cuts?
Well, before we can look at our radar screens, we have to watch a 20-second ad for Doritos. And we no longer have full-body scanners at the security line, so we are asking everyone to take a photo down the front of their pants and just text that to us.
And Border Patrol?
We're going to have to let every 10th Mexican just run across the border.
Thank you.
De nada.
Also, here's another list of important people that stood to be affected by the budget cuts. Listen carefully for their credentials, because you can't see their costumes here.
And of course, these cuts will affect our military, our civil servants, federal construction projects, even grants to Native Americans. And I'm the one who has to tell these folks, young men, there's no need to feel now. Young men, pick yourself off the ground. Young men, just because your funding is down, there's no need to be unhappy.
Okay, again, you see the characters he's got behind us. He's got cops who are going to be adversely affected. He's got construction workers who are going to lose their jobs. He's got people from the Indian Affairs Office. You can guess what he's got around him here.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, you got 8 minutes here to 8 o'clock in the morning. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You know, sometimes political activists are so earnest, they don't know when they are being mocked. Exhibit A, right in front of us here. The Seattle bike blog is outraged about a letter sent by State Representative Ed Orcutt to a constituent who was disputing whether or not a bike tax was fair or not. The bike tax was going to be part of that 10-year transportation plan. It would be, I think, a $25 fee or so on every bike that costs more than $500. And it would be the first time bikes had been, you know, targeted for transportation fee. Now, this is that big 10-year plan where they want to raise your gas tax 10 cents and $140 on your license tab fees and another local option to raise them an additional $140 on top of that. And so just for really symbolic reasons, they put in the bicycle tax. So when this guy sends a letter to Representative Orcutt, saying that this was unfair, the bicycles decreased traffic congestion and were environmentally friendly, Ed Orcutt writes him back and says, no, bicycling is not good for the environment. Bicycling is bad for the environment. He says that a cyclist has increased heart rate, increased respiration, which, quote, means that the act of riding a bike results in greater emissions of carbon dioxide from the rider. Since CO2 is deemed to be a greenhouse gas and a pollutant, bicyclists are actually polluting when they ride, close quote. Now, you've got one TV station who's trying to verify whether, in fact, the representative did, in fact, say this. And, again, I don't think these guys understand that they were being made fun of by Representative Orchid, but the point he's making is the silliness of the EPA's rule that carbon dioxide, which is what you exhale, is a pollutant. Without carbon dioxide, the planet dies. What we exhale, plants inhale. And what plants exhale, oxygen, we inhale. You talk about, you know, a balance between, you know, plant and animal life. So the EPA several years ago, very controversial. This went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that basically if the EPA wanted to do something dumb, who is the Supreme Court to tell them it's unconstitutional? There's lots of dumb things government does every day. Doesn't mean it's unconstitutional. I think it's ridiculous to say that carbon dioxide is a pollutant, but if you want to lay the groundwork for a carbon tax, if you want to lay the groundwork for vast new regulatory or expanded regulatory power for the government, identifying carbon dioxide as a pollutant is an important way to do that. So all Ed Orchid was saying is, you know, people who bicycle end up, building up their heart rate, and they generate more carbon dioxide because they're
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
So.
I want to ride my
So the first time I've seen all these polluting bicycles going down the road, I don't know if his irony was caught by these people or not. My guess is no, probably not.